The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This is the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Joe. Thank you very much for downloading it. Joe, thanks for putting it all together.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, you know what? It's just nice to have people listening to us in a digital arena.
Yes, it's the podcasting thing, mate. It's big now. It's big.
You know, I worked this out the other day when this was XFM, not Radio X. We had something in the region of 90, maybe 100 podcasts.
Yes.
We have been doing this now for nearly 20 months. On average, I'd say 5 podcasts a month. We're over the 200 podcast mark, Joe.
What, this show?
Yeah.
Including the ones in its previous guise. Where can we even find those?
They still exist.
Do they exist?
Smart and Sunday, they still exist.
Oh, right. Well, I'll search for them.
Some good guests on there. Everybody from Hulk Hogan and Noel Gallagher all the way through to the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And believe it or not, Freddie Flintoff.
I believe it.
Yeah, well, there you are. Go and get involved in that. Thank you very much for downloading. Please enjoy.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This is What's the Story?
Radio X.
What's the story?
Radio X.
So I make no secret of it, I'm a massive Oasis fan, I think a lot of our Radio X listeners are too, and everyone's got a little story about why they mean so much to them. So on the Evening Show this year, I've been asking for Radio X regulars to send me Oasis tracks and the story behind why they mean so much to you. Now, I've not been after the obvious hits either. There's a chance for me to go off the beaten path with the Radio X record collection and really dig deep into the stuff that we don't get to play all the time. So I'm not after Supersonics, Wonderwalls, Rock and Roll Star, any of the massive hits. What I'm after is the B-sides, the tracks that take you back to a very particular place and time. Things that take you roaring back to the 90s, remind you of a special occasion, or mean something to you. So right now, on the blower, I have got Sam, I think, in East Midlands. You all right, Sam?
Hi there, yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, magic, Sam. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. You sound very upbeat tonight. You had a good day.
Yeah, a very good day, thank you.
Right, good on you. Now, Sam, would you be so kind as to tell me your relationship with a particular Oasis song and why it makes you so happy?
Well, 4 years ago, it was on my birthday, 23rd of the 9th, I had taken my daughter to school. And I returned, went into the kitchen, and we've got turntables in our house. And my boyfriend at the time came walking into the kitchen in his underpants, playing, and in the background was playing Columbia by Oasis.
Oh, fantastic. And so he went down on bended knee, did he?
Yeah, he did, yes. The old romantic he is. And he pulled out an engagement ring.
Oh, fantastic.
And asked me to marry him.
That's super. I mean, I take it you said yes, Sam.
I did, yes. And we got married last year.
Oh, that's absolutely lovely.
Year.
I love that. And where was he? You know, you said that he was in his underpants. Was that part of the whole presentation, the whole pantomime? Or was he presenting the ring in a particularly dramatic way? That's all I'm asking.
No, he just pulled the ring out of his pants.
I thought that might have been the case. Sam, what a lovely, lovely story. Listen, are you a big Oasis fan yourself?
I am. Unfortunately, I've only seen them once, but yeah. I mean, that was absolutely phenomenal. That was back in 2006 in Nottingham, so it was, you know, I'll never ever forget it.
Oh, superb stuff. You know what, the chances of them playing again are really slim, so you can say you've seen them, and also they play a part in your actual life, you know. Congratulations, Sam, what a lovely story. Thanks for telling us that tonight.
No problem, thank you very much.
There she is, Sam from East Midlands, from Mansfield. What a lovely lady she was. What a brilliant little tale as well. Got an original way to propose that, in your underpants with the old ring concealed. I think there might be more to that story, but we're not going to dig that deep. Right, let's have a little bit of magic from Oasis right now. I think this song was written about a really naughty hotel in London. I might be wrong, and it also might have something else to do with the title. Here we go. This is Oasis, Columbia, on Radio X.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
It's been a few weeks since I've done one of these, but it's a good one to come back to. The Blue album from Weezer. all the way back in 1994, their debut studio album. Reminds me of Happy Times as well, because my brother had the album. I think I broke it. He went to see Rivers Cuomo and the band in Glasgow at the SECC, or maybe it was the Barrowlands, and he came back and we had an almighty scrap over me breaking his Weezer album. So it brings back fond memories for me of getting a shoe-in from my big brother. The band Rivers Cuomo, Patrick Wilson, Matt Sharp and Jason Cropper, they formed in 92 in Los Angeles. Their first gig was closing for Keanu Reeves. How about that? Remember his band Dogstar? I think they played at Tea in the Park around about 1993 as well. Anyway, did well in the movies, didn't he? I'll leave it at that. In 1993, they recorded the Blue Album in New York at the Electric Lady Studios. As we all know, the most famous studios, because they were built by Jimi Hendrix in 1970. Very famous studios, by the way. Bowie, AC/DC, Stevie Wonder, U2, Van Halen, The Strokes. It goes on and on and on, actually. Guns N' Roses, Santana, Arcade Fire, Blondie, Bob Dylan, tons more all recorded there. It's a magical place with magic in the walls. Anyway, going back to the album, the producer was Rick Ocasek. Is always the best way to pronounce it, isn't it? Guitarist and vocalist, of course, of The Cars. During the recording sessions, founding guitarist Jason Cropper left the band and he was replaced by a man called Brian Bell. And if you know your Weezer, you'll know he's still in the band today. The album artwork, remember that? The four band members standing in front of a blue background? There's a great story behind this, right? A little bit of Photoshop and magic, which must have been the earliest bit of Photoshopping going back to 1994. So the bass player, Matt Sharp, was not a happy bunny because the picture he had in the front, he wasn't very pleased with. Apparently he thought his head looked a bit funny. So they managed to crop it, put a different version of his head on, edit all together, and there you have it, the final cover for the Blue Album, as we know it, from Weezer. Early Photoshopping because of people's slightly touchy egos, eh? Anyway, the album was released on May the 10th, 94, and has since achieved 4 times multi-platinum status in America alone. How about that for a record? It also featured in tons of the best of lists for albums in the 90s and of all time, and I think I won about 400 of them as well. So tonight, 2 songs from that great album from 1994. You will remember these very well when you hear them. Buddy Holly and The Sweater Song.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week. X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show. Classic Album of the Week.
X.
If you just tuned in and caught the last 10 seconds of that song, don't worry, we've not lost our minds. That was from the brilliant Weezer album, 1994, their debut studio album, just known as the Blue Album, but it was just actually self-titled Weezer. You heard Undone, the Sweater Song, with that mad stuff right at the very end. The first single released from the Blue Album. Rivers Cuomo has said that it was his attempt to write a Velvet Underground song, but has also admitted that it bears a little bit of a similarity to Metallica's Sanitarium. Go and check that out. The first one I played you from that album is probably their most famous recognisable song, Buddy Holly. And both Buddy Holly and the Sweater Song have something in common, something very special. The music videos were early directorial efforts from none other than Spike Jonze, who went on to do other brilliant stuff like Being John Malkovich, amongst many other crackers. How good was that tonight? Buddy Holly and Undone, the Sweater Song. Now, listen to that track in the background. You hear it? Pretty special stuff. I remember it very well. It's the final track from the album, entitled Only in Dreams. Weezer's longest song to date, just over 8 minutes. And the guitar solo at the very end of the track is one that Rivers Cuomo has cited as his favourite in the entire Weezer canon. And guess what? If you are a fan of Ash, you will know this as well. B-side to their 2001 single, Burn Baby Burn, was their version of that. What a brilliant bit of music it is. Go and have a listen to that album again. Two lovely messages here, actually. David says, a little hoarse after singing along to the Weezer stuff, and Beverly as well. Thank you for that fun trip down memory lane to my teenage years with Weezer. Brilliant stuff tonight. Thoroughly enjoyed that. Weezer 1994 and the Blue Album. More classic album chat next Monday.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Now, if you listen regularly, you'll know that I've got a bit of an obsession about music memorabilia. If I had more money, I'd spend it all on probably signed guitars, signed pictures, all that kind of stuff. And there's a great story kicking around about the latest piece of Beatles memorabilia. Get on this, right? George Harrison, one of the guitars he played at his last performance at the Cavern Club, right, is going on auction and it's expected to sell for $500,000. That's £386,000 in our money. Not bad at all, is it? The guitar is, it's a Maton Mastersound MS500. And the story behind it is quite interesting as well. George had sent his regular guitar, his Gretchen, for repairs in Manchester at a place called Barrett's. And in exchange, the owner of Barrett's lent him that guitar, the MS500, as a temporary replacement. Anyway, George decided to keep the Maton And then what happened was the last gig they played at the Cavern, I think it was August 1963, that was the guitar he used. So obviously it's worth an absolute fortune. It's being auctioned off by a company called Gardner Hoolgate, and they're expecting to get at least £500,000. There's a lovely story as well. So eventually George Harrison gives the guitar back, and then the guy who owned Barrett's, his missus, his widow then, put it up for sale at Sotheby's in 2002, and it ended up in the Beatles Story Museum in Liverpool, right? So it's been there for 4 years, and now it's being sold again. Now this auction's got some other brilliant stuff in as well. There's an amplifier once used by Pink Floyd. There is a guitar owned by Bee Gees icon Morris Gibb. It's all gone under the hammer, and they're going to make a few quid. Now, just to give you an idea of what George Harrison's stuff sold for in the past, he had an electric guitar, his first electric guitar, in fact, and it sold for $430,000, right? That's about £330,000. So in Liverpool, probably a decent two-bedroom house, that. Not bad at all, is it? So, yeah, if you've got a few £100,000 kicking around, go and buy yourself a George Harrison guitar. Let's hear the great man in action. This is the Beatles. Tomorrow Never Knows.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
If you were a fan of the bands that Alan McGee discovered, then get on this. He has backed his old tricks, releasing records again. Now, here's a little refresher just for anybody who doesn't know. Mr. McGee was the founder of Creation Records in 1983, home to a string of successful Lunatics, Oasis, Primal Scream, Teenage Fan Club, My Bloody Valentine, before it all came crashing down, along with McGee's health, in about 1999. Anyway, he came back in the noughties, he had another bash, Pop Tones. He signed The Hives, The Boxer Rebellion, DJ Cherry Stones, and then, since Pop Tones packed it in 2007, McGee has been back at it again, managing the Happy Mondays through a successful reunion, the Mary Chain as well, and he's back properly with Creation 23, his new record label, which will be specialising in releasing 7-inch boutique records. There you are. Now, McGee said, "I want to put records out again, man. I've missed it. There's a load of good music around and it feels like a good time to do it." That's my Glaswegian accent. Anyway, won't do more of that. The label's first release is an Essex band called Rubberjaw, and they've got a song called Feeling Funny, Bumpy Faces. And McGee added, "This is the reason behind his record label. 23 is his lucky number." There you are. Now, Mr. McGee, Alan McGee, was on the show during the winter. He's always really compelling company. In fact, it's hard to get him out of the building because he likes to talk so much. But here he is, Alan McGee, founder of Creation Records and Creation 23, in full flow.
Riders are weird things, because I tell you, I mean, I'm sure you were you a bass player at some point?
I'd love to be. No, I'm not good.
Right, but I was a bass player. And you eventually get to the point you're supporting a big band, and you go into the dressing room, and there's like 40 tins of beer in your fridge, and you're about 21. And no wonder everybody gets fucked up. It's like, and you go out plastered. You have about 6 or 7 cans of lager, and you're 21, and you're your tits. And so in a way, is it any surprise that everybody's got drinking drug problems by the time they're 40?
Life according to Alan McGee there, who said, "Were you a bass player, Gordon?" Which is subtext. The other meaning for that is, were you the least talented member of a band? I think that's what he was trying to say. You can hear the full interview with Alan McGee on the Evening Show podcast. Go and have a listen. He's an entertaining man, old McGee. We love him. Good luck with Creation 23, sir. I'm sure it will be brilliant.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Thank you very much for listening today to the Evening Show podcast. Next week, you will be able to hear, hopefully, all about Joe Thomas from The Inbetweeners, now in the festival, talking to us on the Evening Show. So please download next week, leave a little review, tell your friends. Thanks again. We're back next week with another edition of the Evening Show podcast. Radio X.